Saturday Night Liberty Net.
KO4FE.
There's a strong signal. KO4FE, how are you tonight, Bill?
I'm doing pretty good. You're over 40 over, but conditions seem pretty good. Noise isn't bad. Sounds like it's going to be a good night, over.
Roger, roger. Well, you are over 40 here. You are booming in. My noise floor is only a 7. A little bit of rain today, but mostly sunny. So, your no static crashes. How about you?
No static crashes here. It was nice and sunny, although kind of cool. I don't think it hit 70. It got up into the 60s, but it was still pretty nice. People were out cut grass and doing yard work, but didn't get very warm, but it was okay. I'm not complaining.
Good. Yeah, we didn't get real warm. We stayed a little cool, but the sunshine was gorgeous. All righty, well, let me see if I can gather up some more. Appreciate you joining us. You're number one on the list.
Put me in as listening right now, Bob. I just got in.
All righty, sir. I will do that. I'll give it a few minutes before I start it so you can get ready and be seated for Bill. CQ, this is KAHJOY for the Great Liberty Net, looking for check-ins. CQ, this is KAHJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net, May 1st, 2021.
Check in.
Go ahead. You were so light to me that I did not catch the call, over. Mr. Bill, do you have a better copy on that call sign?
I wasn't paying attention, Bob.
Say, sir, could you give your call sign again phonetically, and let's see if we can pull it out.
All right, W9RWY.
WB9RLY, I think, is what he said.
I think it's Romeo Whiskey Yankee, is that correct?
Roger, roger.
All righty, thank you, Bill. You got the first part, I got the last. Well, I'm going to open the door, and then I'll look for another couple check-ins before I start. Greeting to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now since the year of 1974. founded by Mr. Victor, W1WSDR. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great Liberty Net. I'm going to start off with a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the public for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So let me let go of the mic and see if I have anybody else, and I'll start with an article. This is K-A-H-J-O-Y, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'll take a moment. I have an article from the Western Journal. Good old Sleepy Sloppy Joe. He has decided to bring back a program that was a bad program under Obama called Cash Conquered, only he wants to make it 100 times worse. Of course, Joe. Cash for Conquered is about 60 times clunkier and not a single bit more efficient. Proving learning from history just isn't his bag. President Joe Biden has resurrected one of the more famous bits of Obama-era stimulus failure as part of the electric vehicle program per an April 4th Washington Examiner report. I'd say it's a turbocharged cash for clunkers, but turbochargers require internal combustion engines. The proposal is still the negate stages, the Examiner reported, but it's based on Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's 2019 proposal to spend a whopping $392 billion. That's our money. I guess they don't realize that, but that's our money. $392 billion on thousands for Americans who trade in gas-powered vehicles with at least 8 years of age and buy an American-made all-electric or plug-in hybrid. Under the plan, vouchers would start at $3,000, with more money being doled out based on the range of the vehicle the consumer bought and if the purchaser is low income. What distinguishes this proposal is not only its scale, but also its ability to unite the American environmental movement, the American labor movement, and large automakers, Schumer wrote in a 2019 opinion piece in the New York Times. It has already earned the support of the climate change like the Sierra Club, the National Resources for Defense Council, the League of Conservative Voters, that is an oxy, labor unions like the United Auto Workers and the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers, and car manufacturers like Ford and General Motors. Remember that, because you're going to hear a different version. So again, it's uniting the manufacturers like Ford and General Motors. I bet it did, considering the massive scale of the program, over 100 times bigger than the original cash for clunkers, which clocked in at just $3 billion. The money for spending at this scale isn't fair, with $174 billion, nearly 60 times the original program's cost for electric vehicles, infrastructure, and the American jobs plan at present, according to Steve Drive. That can certainly change, however. Participating in this is something the Biden administration is determined to pursue. It's worth noting the original Cash for Clunkers plan in 2009 post-economic crisis stimulus initiative in which older cars are traded in for a $4,500 voucher that can be spent on more fuel-efficient models as one of the least effective Obama-era stimuluses. The incentives were aimed at getting people into hybrids that seemed to be a wave of the future. According to the 2014 article, rather than investing in pricey hybrids, many buyers opted to relatively cheap and small cars such as the Toyota Corolla, which was the number one choice. Too bad, Ford and Chevy. Oh my God, this guy never stops, and there's so much to talk about him from his Senate video or his Senate speech. Oh my God. All right, let me see if I have anybody else, and we'll get this started. This is K-A-J-O-Y for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
This is Kilo Charlie 8 at the Hotel Romeo. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Clint. I hear you pretty well from the state of Michigan. We're talking across the pond. Thank you for joining us. You're number 6 on the list.
Thank you, Bob. I didn't know if one of us in there. That's a little break to the pause. You're calling WAHC Worldwide, correct? What was your location again?
Negative on the call. I'm Kilo Alpha, the number 8, and the word joy. Juliet, Oscar, and a Yankee, and I am in Richfield, Ohio.
Roger, Roger, Richfield, Ohio. Thank you, sir.
All righty, well, let's start this party with a booming signal. Mr. Bill, KO4FE, good evening, good to hear you. This is KJY.
Okay, KA8JOY, the true Liberty Net. This is KO4FE. All right. Well, you know, I've been in a depression for past, well, really since the Biden got sworn in. I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's almost impossible to keep up with the stuff that's going on. Every time you see some proclamation or some proposed plan or a executive order, you start trying to research that to find out what it's all about, and then before you even get into that, it's sometimes only a matter of hours before they come up with something else. It's just endless haranguing of white people for all kinds of imagined offenses, crimes, the constant concoction of harassment programs against white people. I mean, it's just never ending. Well, he's got another one here. Headline, Biden's racial equity agenda targets so-called exclusionary single-family neighborhoods. Yeah, if you're in a single-family neighborhood, a subdivision or what have you, you're in an exclusionary neighborhood. President Joe Biden wants to transform the character of many American cities and suburbs by building more apartment buildings in quiet and frequently disproportionately white neighborhoods of single-family homes. The Biden administration sees remnants of America's segregationist past in what he calls exclusionary zoning laws, which allows only single-family homes in large swaths of cities and suburbs. As part of a racial equity agenda the president is pursuing in his massive infrastructure plan, Mr. Biden would send federal grants to cities if they eliminate those zoning laws and allow more lower-income people, often minorities, in areas that typically have better schools and fewer social ills that plague poor inner-city communities. Yeah, this is part of what's known as the magic dirt theory. You simply move somebody, say a dysfunctional person, from one part of an area, and you move them to a new area, and suddenly they become less dysfunctional. You know, they take these black people who are in the ghettos, and they move them to a white area, and suddenly Pookie and Ray Ray stop knocking up Letitia. Their school scores will skyrocket. Gangs will disappear. And everybody starts behaving themselves. You know, this is really, when you think about it, it's an example of liberal white supremacy, because they believe that all they have to do is put blacks near white people, and just, I guess, by osmosis, the white people will make the blacks do better. I mean, if that's not white supremacy, I don't know what is. But what gets me confused is if white people move into a black area, they call that gentrification, and they don't like that. And if white people move out of a black area that used to be an area that used to be white, but blacks move in and whites move out, they call that white flight. That's bad. Now they're going to move blacks into white neighborhoods, and of course, you know, they'll stop committing crimes, taking drugs, having illegitimate babies, and flunking out of school just by being around white people. I would say that's a, I would call Biden a white supremacist for coming up with that idea, because it implies that white people, black people, will just absorb these behavioral norms from white people, and suddenly they'll become better. That sounds like white supremacy, but anyway, getting back to the article, it said zoning laws that allow only single-family houses, quote, keep families from moving to neighborhoods with more opportunities for them and their kids, close quote. The administration said in a fact sheet, a so-called fact sheet, I'd call it a lie sheet, describing its $2.3 trillion with a T, infrastructure plan. The administration is also arguing that increasing the supply of housing by encouraging more apartment buildings would bring down the cost of rent. Yeah, it's going to cause it to drop to rock bottom, because once these apartment buildings go up, people are going to move away and their houses will be available for much cheaper rent, kind of like what they has happened in Detroit. I mean, I've read news articles where you could buy a house in Detroit for $1. So why don't they move into those houses? They're sitting there, block after block of houses that could be bought from the city of Detroit for $1.
Hey, a nigger is a nigger.
I mean, what's
nigger.
This
they
talk about
that.
Affordable housing and lower rents? You can't beat, you can't get lower rents than what they got in Detroit. But for some strange reason, nobody's wanting to live in those houses. But anyway, it says the idea has been proposed before, at least since, well, this is written, I think they need to do some editing. At least since the Obama administration is what it's supposed to say, but that's not the way they wrote it, and always runs into stiff opposition. In a Wall Street Journal op-ed in August, President Trump and Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson derided the idea of federal government discouragement of single-family zoning. They call it a policy of coercion, domination, and control. Exactly. Person works all their lives to live in a deep house, and then you got Joe Biden coming in, moving a bunch of ghetto dwellers into it, and then your home value goes down. Says Carson said, as usual, anyone who dares tell the truth about what the left is doing is smeared as a racist. Naturally, that's their universal term for everything. But the plan also ran into opposition from residents in liberal cities such as Minnesota and Seattle, where areas limited to single-family homes have been cut back or eliminated. Proponents argue that black families are less likely than white families to be able to afford property in areas limited to single-family homes, which tend to be expensive and sometimes prohibit rental units. Policies barring blacks from being able to borrow money to buy houses in certain areas may be gone, but policies such as single-family zoning can keep minorities out of the most desirable neighborhoods. Racial justice activists argue, I don't think any blacks are kept out of anything as long as they have the money to buy the house. Nobody is banning blacks. They just, I mean, if you can't afford the house, you can't afford it. I mean, there's a nice subdivision across the highway from me. I might want to live there, but I'm not going to pay the mortgage on those places. But it doesn't bother me. I'm not a criminal or a drug dealer or anything like that just because of it. And then they'd go on and on. It's just more nonsense. Well, anyway, here's another one. This is a sign of the times. The insanity that's going on in the Western world. This is KOFRE. Get this headline. Queen Elizabeth awards sex toy company for international sales growth. Love Honey received the Queen's Award for International Trade for Outstanding Continuous Growth. I'm not even going to read that story. I mean, that's ridiculous. Here's another ridiculous story. Caitlyn Jenner announces bid for governor of California backed by a cadre of ex-Trump advisors. Oh, God. Reality Star 71 says she wants to take down Democrat Gavin Newsom and return to prosperity. Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor of California with a campaign team of former Trump aides. Oh, jeez. The 71-year-old has filed paperwork to launch her campaign and formally announced her run on social media, revealing her new slogan, Caitlyn for California. Jenner is a registered Republican. She voted for Trump in 2016, but not in 2020. The protest against his position on transgender issues. In an announcement on Instagram, she did not indicate whether or not she'll run as a Republican or an independent. Who gives a damn? She's not, it's not going to win. He, she, there's a picture. Oh, God. This is your Republican Party, folks. So anyway, back to you. KAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. Well, I have to touch on a couple of things that you said. One thing was about the what's going on. A couple of nights ago, I watched 2 hours of Newsmax and 2 hours of Fox, and I was ready to shoot the television. And then talking about moving into segregated neighborhoods, why did the founder, Patrice Cone Collars, I guess is how her name is pronounced, she bought a house, $1.3 million house, in a 0.7, less than 1% black district. So she moved into a $1.3 million house in a almost exclusive all-white neighborhood. Why would a BLM founder do that, over?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she thinks that by being around all those white people, she'll stop complaining, and she'll quit BLM. I don't know. Probably because she's just a fraud and a hypocrite, and she's turned race into a profitable business, over.
Roger, on a profitable business, and I don't think that she doesn't want to live amongst her own. You know, she's not going to buy a house in an area that they're going to burn and pilferage and destroy. It wouldn't matter to them, so... I just had to throw that out just to add to your plight. It is amazing. Truly amazing. Well, I'm going to stop by and say hi to Miss Laura, N2JTT, and N2IRJ. They are listening, and hopefully we get them on a transmitter soon. I emphasize the word soon, Miss Laura. Next, Mr. Larry, I hope you're with us. You have your papers in front of you, and you're all ready. N4ROQ, KAHJOY.
Yes, what? You got it right. I got back in time here. Well, let's see if we can get some stuff here that's interesting. This Mars helicopter up there now, US-79 from the Nation in the World Watch, Cape Canaveral, Florida. NASA's little Mars helicopter has gotten a reprieve. Instead of wrapping up flight test at the beginning of May, NASA is giving its Ingenuity helicopter at least an extra month to tackle tough new terrain and serve as a scout for its companion rover. Perseverance officially announced the extension Friday, following three successful short flights in under 2 weeks for the $85 million tech design demo. So $85 million for that. Ingenuity was attempting its fourth flight Friday afternoon. Thursday's effort failed because of software problems. Indonesia military paid last respects to submarine crew. This is the crew that went down. There was a lot of people on board. I guess it was in the 50s, I guess. Indonesia military and family members on Friday paid their respects to the 53 submarine crew members who died when their vessel sank and broke apart in the depths off the resort island of Bala. The ceremony included relatives casting flowers into the ocean from the Navy hospital ship. Indonesia is planning to recover the KRI Nanggala 402 with the help of a Chinese Navy ship that's capable of lifting objects 3,280 feet deep. The Navy said the submarine sank April the 21st to a depth of 2,2300 feet. So it went on down there. South Dakota Governor sues for fireworks at Mount Rushmore. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem sued the U.S. Department of Interior on Friday in an effort to see fireworks shot over Mount Rushmore National Monument on July 4th. The Republican governor successfully pushed last year for return of the display after a decade-long hiatus, and then President Donald Trump joined Noem on July the 3rd to give a fiery speech. But the state's application this year was denied by National Park Service, which cited safety concerns and objections from Native American tribes. All right. Let's see what we got. There was a death toll at 45 in Israeli stampede. Efforts were underway Friday to identify victims and connect loved ones with missing relatives after a deadly stampede at a religious celebration in northern Israel killed at least 45 people. In what was one of the country's deadliest civilian disasters, about 100,000 people were crowded by Mount Meron early Friday for the ceremony of Lag Bolomar, a holiday that among other things commemorates Rabbi Shimon Bar Yoshei, the second century sage and mystic who is buried at the base of the mountain. According to witnesses and video, the stampede began as a large number of people in a narrow tunnel-like passage began falling on top of each other. Witnesses said some fell on a slip of stairway. One of the country's ambulance services confirmed the death toll has risen to 45. Around 150 people were injured, with six in critical condition. The Times of Israel reported Friday 32 people have been identified and 22 funerals held. The victim identification was expected after the Sabbath. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu briefly visited Mount Meron and said it was one of the worst disasters that has befallen the state of Israel. The day of mourning will be Sunday, Netanyahu said. Well, it looks like a lot of people are being vaccinated. There's over 100 million now fully vaccinated in Colorado, Utah. This bank from the nation in the world, USA Today. Disneyland reopened on Friday, and cruise lines welcomed the news. The they would be sailing again in the U.S. by midsummer as the number of Americans fully vaccinated against COVID-19 hit another milestone of 100 million. The visitors cheered and screamed with delight as the Southern California theme park swung open its gates for the first time in 13 months in a powerful symbol of the U.S. rebound. ENA was self-proclaimed happiest place on earth is allowing only in-state guests for now and operating at just 25% capacity. So, the article goes on that talks about the CDC a lot. So, U.S. cruises have been shut down by the pandemic since March 2020. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said Thursday he expects to see COVID-19 restrictions working in the city fully open by July the 1st. We are ready for stores to open, for businesses to open, offices, theaters, full strength, he said on MSNBC. Well, he's the one to shut them all down, I'm sure. All right, well, we'll stop it right there. Listen to a lot of your comments, Bill. You did a great job, and good to hear you back in there.
All righty, Larry, thank you. I appreciate it, bringing those to the table. I'm going to stop by and say hi to Chris. Kilo November 4 is Zulu Echo Sierra in Tennessee. He is listening. He made a comment when I talked about the electrical cars and Nancy Pelosi's GD stock portfolio in Tesla. Yep, they go in there, you know, to basically serve America, but they come out wealthy. It's kind of interesting how that all happens. So, again, thank you, Larry, and 402 KHOI. Let me go down to Mr. James in Iron River, Wisconsin. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. This is K-A-J-O-Y. Good evening, Mr. James. What do you have?
Good evening, Bob. I'm like coffee, but I've got a better antenna that I'm running this time, so hopefully better than normal. I hope for the rest of the month or the other equipment is going to be blown out. So I have an idea on how we can place the new restricted satellite. I'm suggesting that Congress can influence the one state government by reminding the DNR that they are getting revenue from hunting licenses, and reminding the state legislators that if they don't stand up for gun rights, then they will go on stage and they will not buy any hunting licenses for you. So that's my idea. Hunters can go on strike to fight against restricted gun limits, and I think that would work because it's all about money, isn't that key? And so that's my idea.
Thank you, James. Well, it is about the money, but again, it's the government not wanting you to have long weapons that in the event, God help us, there would be some type of a revolution that would involve this tyrannous group. They don't want you to have long weapons. They, you know, because long weapons only account for, in the 2019 FBI statistic, just over 300 homicides were long weapons. Just over 600 homicides in 2019 were baseball bats and fists. And 1,467 homicides were by knives, cutlery, in 2019. So it's not about making it safer. It's about control. But that's a good idea. Stop paying for your hunting license, because that's where most of the, like for Ohio, it's called ODNR, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. That's where their funding comes from, is from those licenses. So it is a decent idea. Thank you. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. I'm going to move down to Mr. Clint in the great state of Michigan, just across the pond. Kilo's Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo. Mr. Clint, go ahead.
Well, Bob, good evening, and we'll take it easy and everybody here. I've got lots of work to talk about. Literally, I've got my arm here to get away from the sun, and I'll use the screen charge of topics that really pop out to me, and I'll usually make that my list of items that I actually go through, but my YL has my iPad, so I'll use my phone to go through that quick notes here, so hopefully I can not lose anybody. You're open with myself. One thing I saw was that Josh Perry says he wants to get below net zero for CO2 emissions. And that zero, every oxygen plant will die. We will all die. I don't think this level actually exists in adults, but apparently it does. Well, let's see here. I saw another one here where they had an Arizona audit. The Gateway 6, one of their commentators, Congressman, he interviewed the Arizona Audit Director, and that's all I've looked down, so hopefully I'll be able to find out here what this is going to be, which is not good. But he did do an interview out there. While he was out there, they also noticed that they can't enter outside of it.
Trump.
And last I heard, like I said, I think it's 100,000 and 250,000.
Either way, there's a box of frogs happening in Arizona, and I believe I saw a number of like 16% of those towns here were 16% of all of Arizona. I also saw a report somewhere that the FDA was receiving the authorized vaccine. I'm hoping to find that article also. I don't think so. At least they want to make sure everybody gets the vaccine. The FDA approved it for emergency use. But I saw an article earlier today. They were refusing the vaccine. I can't remember what exactly how they worded it. I'm sorry, I got the part. But I did hear that 37% of the 19 population was vaccinated. And they are not expecting that. Okay, now, Bob, I heard you mentioned this little bit, so you're watching Fox News. And I don't know if you might have seen it. There's being a special transit. And while he was there, Clint showed up. And I believe it was pretty clear that they were under siege. But I don't know if he was actually a pirate or what was going on. But I think you might have heard something about that and enlighten us a little bit on that. And those of you may have heard about Officer Kate Sylvester, the one who's making fun of the NBA stars, who apparently has lost his job now, is leaving $300,000 on a GoFundMe account. He's awfully lost his job because he's making fun of an NBA star. He's making too much money anyway. To chase the rubber ball up and down the court. You guys make way too much money. We got a military dying for our country, for our constitution. Most of them get paid up. Your friend of mine didn't make hardly diddly squat. And I'm sure you're probably familiar with it, Bob.
you, we got people that are outside playing visa. And they make millions of dollars. Pathetic in his stance. Priorities in the wrong spot. Anyway, so anything else, Bob, I'll let you know again, but sorry that I don't have all my notes.
No problem, Rich. Did a great job. And yes, I knew that the officer was suspended. I did not hear that he lost his job. I did know there's a GoFundMe account. I have to go make a donation to it because it was a simple video that was making fun of LeBron. I understand that his union has requested an investigation against LeBron to see if he was part of the firing, part of that cancel culture. Kathy Gifford can walk around with the chopped off mock head of President Donald Trump, and this guy makes jests of LeBron sticking his nose in where he doesn't belong, and that's what happened. It is sad. Truly sad. K-C-A-T-H-R. Thank you, K-H-A-Y. Let me check and see if I have any objections. This is K-A-J-O-Y. Nothing heard. So before I go to the top of the list, I have gotten into a habit of writing my senators and congressmen. But after listening to Sleepy Floppy Joe, and that almost put me through the roof, then I listened to Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina, and he gave the Republican rebuttal. And I definitely enjoy it. I have an article for the last round about him, but I wrote him a letter, and I just thought I'd quick read it. I wrote it on the 29th because Sleepy Sloppy Joe was on the 28th. Last night, I spent 90 minutes of my life listening to President Joe Biden, and towards the end of the speech, he made reference to the beginning of the U.S. Constitution that reads, quote, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," and you know the rest, unquote. Joe Biden said, and I quote, "We the people is the government." That is incorrect. We the people are the citizens that the government is to represent. However, today I watched your 14-minute speech and was refreshed, Senator Tom Scott. You gave meaning to the term representative republic, what America really is. And Tom Scott did say, America is a great country and we are not racist. We're a country that voted a black man in as president. How can we be racist? That is a true statement. Second paragraph. I am certain, Senator Tom Scott, that you are voting no on the American Family Act, which is only a way for the liberal-minded educators to continue to indoctrinate our young people and be in their lives from the cradle till college. Please also vote no on the American Jobs Act, another form of government spending and control over the American worker. And the American Jobs Act is where that money for cash for clunkers is coming from. Hopefully you will also vote against the Equality Act for LGBT community. The LGBT community is a small percentage of the American population, as you know. Between LGBTQ and BLM, the tail is wagging the American dog hard. Senator Tom Scott, please vote no to any additional gun regulations, and yes, to continue the building of the Southern Wall, and yes, to stopping illegal immigration. Senator, three final thoughts. One, on January 6th, there was only one killing, and that was when USCP, United Capitol Police, Lieutenant shot and killed Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, the unarmed conservative protester who was wrong for being on the property, even though it is our house when you look at it, but I didn't put that in. Number two, constitutional amendments are absolute. If anybody watched that, Joe Biden said they're not absolute. However, President Joe Biden doesn't agree. The First Amendment, the freedom of speech, is the freedom of speech and the freedom to worship. The Second Amendment is your right shall not be infringed upon to bear arms. Let's go to the fourth, the right to be safe in your papers and house in your security and free from, you know, improper warrants. So, and the Fifth Amendment that you shall not incriminate yourself. So the amendments are real,
but apparently Joe doesn't think.
Number three, President Biden talks big. However, he and the Democratic Party is only dividing America with the whitehead hatred and the constant talk about systemic racism, and we all know that. I'm really tired of that word. My final statement was, remember, the people and or politicians can vote themselves into communism. However, the people will have to fight and shoot their way back to freedom. I am a proud Gold Star father, and I do not want my son's life after 10 years of service as a MARSOC U.S. Marine to be a bit sacrificed in vain for the country we call America. God bless and thank you for serving our country, and I signed it and mailed it off to him. So I have gotten into a kick of pinning letters. I usually write to the Ohio senators, but I could not pass up the chance to write to Tim Scott. And if you notice, the left is calling him Uncle Tim. I'm telling you, they can say anything racist. Why don't we investigate them? I mean, in fact, the guy didn't even make fun of LeBron, but they call him Uncle Tim, and he's a token, and that's okay, because it's the left. Sad. All righty, Mr. Bill, I am back to your door. KO4FE, KAHJOY, sir.
Okay, KAHJOY. In the Liberty Net, the true Liberty Net, not the fake one. This is KO4FE. Okay, well, we got some good news. I mean, the liberals may not think it's good news, but it's always good news when people do dumb things and have to deal with the consequences of their stupidity, because maybe you'd think they might learn a lesson, but the left rarely does that. I'm not going to say they never learn a lesson, because there's always hope, but they don't learn it any time I can remember. And here's the headline: violent crime has surged in Minneapolis in the year since George Floyd's death, with the second highest number of homicides ever as the pandemic and protests. Violent crime is surging in Minneapolis, with homicides last year spiking to the second highest levels ever as the COVID-19 pandemic and protests in the week of George Floyd's death devastated the city. Of the 5,426 violent crimes recorded in Minneapolis last year, 83 of them were homicides, according to the city's police crime statistic data. It's only the second highest number of homicides since 1995, when a record 97 homicides were recorded. That number, or that record 1995 figure, resulted in the city being branded Murderapolis by the national media. Violent crime was already trending upward in the first half of last year, but it really started to spike after Floyd was killed by the Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin on May 25th, sparking widespread protests and a movement to quote-unquote defund the police. Crime rates this year are already surging. So far in 2021, there have been 1,398 violent crimes, according to police crime statistics. 24 of the violent crimes in the first 4 months of this year have been homicides. So that's, looks like, well, 24, if you go three times that for the year, that would be 73 murders. Last week, there were 107 violent crimes reported across the city, which is up from the 60 that occurred in the same week in 2020. So that's up by over 50%, more like 60%. Police in Minneapolis are already predicting a return to Murderapolis this year. And they're also having a lot of cops that are quitting in these cities. Says we're going to blow Murderapolis off the charts this year, a Minneapolis police officer told journalist Michael Tracy in a report published on Substack. The officers say they have noticed a spike in gun violence and that more people than ever seem to have guns. The city's gunshot detection data shows more than 24,000 bullets were fired across Minneapolis last year. Well, they must not be very good shots if they only had 80 murders. In the week following Floyd's death last year, nearly 1,400 gunshots were recorded across the city. More than 550 people were wounded in shootings last year, which includes fatalities, according to the data. More than 80% of those shot were black, and 62% of the total number were from Minneapolis. The number shooting victims, I'll tell you, the way they write some of these articles, they need to edit them. I'm seeing this is almost a universal thing. This is what it says. The number shooting victims in 2020 was 100% increase compared to the year prior. I think you could have written that sentence a little better. Carjacking spiked to 375 last year, which was up 331% from the same period in 2019. Well, anyway, it looks like crime is off the charts, or at least significantly increased. And, you know, if that's what these people vote for, you know, if they want to get rid of the police, they want to support these Democrats, let them suffer the consequences. I'm not going to get upset over that. Okay, here's another article. This may explain some of the insanity of the Democrats and the liberals. Here's a headline. Over 50% of liberal white women under 30 have a mental health issue. Are we worried yet? A 2020 Pew Research study revealed that over half of white liberal women have been diagnosed with a mental health condition at some point. Well, the fact that they're liberal shows that they've got a mental health. That's ipso facto proof of a mental health condition. Does this mean there's a correlation between progressive ideas and mental health? Well, I would think there is, or else maybe liberalism drives them crazy. I don't know if crazy to be liberals or liberalism drives them crazy. That'd be worth studying. It's a common tactic of the politically charged on either side, and normally perceived as a cheap one at that, to take the particular adherence of an ideology and equate that diehard worship to mental illness. Conservatives label younger liberal generations as snowflakes for having Trump derangement syndrome if they don't like the past president. Liberals and progressives label right-leaning individuals or conservatives as racist, bigots, misogynists, etc. Resorting to this type of lowbrow behavior might once have been seen as an excuse not to address actual issues or beliefs at hand, but now ad hominem attacks are more common than not. But what if what was once a cheap shot or personal insult has actually been found to bear scientific correlation between the individuals who hold progressive ideologies and an increased risk of mental illness? That's exactly what the Pew Research has found. And all politics aside, the shocking diagnosis of over 50% of liberal women with some form of mental health medical diagnosis is a public health concern that no one seems to be discussing, let alone taking seriously. I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but I would say get them out of liberalism and stop brainwashing them beginning in kindergarten. And then it goes on to say that they're not only more likely to have mental health issues, but they're more likely to be depressed. Oh, well, anyway, let me move on to something else. Now, this is a article describing some policies being pushed by Josh Hawley. And on the surface, this might seem like it's a good idea, but I think if it was put into effect, the actual results would be bad. Well, anyway, here's the headline. This is KO4FE. Josh Hawley proposes parent tax credit for working families. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, introduced legislation Monday that would create a tax credit aimed at helping working class Americans overcome financial and economic barriers to start a family. I want to say something about that in a minute, but let's get to the details of what Josh Hawley is promoting. It says, Hawley introduced legislation that would establish a parent tax credit, a fully refundable tax credit provided through monthly advances. Hawley's bill would create a $6,000 credit for single parents and a $12,000 credit for married parents. Well, I don't know how that's going to help anything, because all that's going to do is incentivize single mothers even more than they already are. And for married parents, here's the problem. You've got the marriage rates at an all-time low in history of this country. And we also have the fact that 70% of divorces are filed by women. So what this actually could create is a situation where women get all these tax benefits, the single mothers and the divorced mothers who have custody 80% of the time. Whereas the fathers who are paying out all the child support, they don't get to claim their kids on their tax return. So this is basically money going to single mothers and divorced mothers. This seems to be like it would destroy families, or at least further incentivize divorce. He says current law does little or nothing for the millions of working families who would prefer to care for their children at home. Hawley said in a statement Monday that his legislation would give Americans the flexibility to start families. Well, one of the reasons why people aren't starting families or getting married is, and I know this from experience, even though I was married for almost 40 years, is that young men hear the horror stories from guys who have been divorced about how they lost half their stuff. They're getting pounded with child support, how they can't even claim their children on their tax returns. And so the young guys hear these horror stories from the older workers, and they say, well, there's no way I want to get married. So if Josh Hawley wanted to do something to help families and help people have kids, he might push some policies that stop incentivizing divorce and stop the bias against men fathers in the damn family courts. I mean, this is the biggest problem you got, and because of the way the family courts are set up and the laws are written, like, for example, in California, if you were married for 10 years and your wife filed for divorce, which they do 70% of the time, not only are the marital assets split, which she may have never worked, she gets the children 80% of the time, so she's getting the tax deduction for the children. She's getting child support payments from the father, and now, plus in California, if you were married for 10 years, she also gets alimony. And then under Josh Hawley's plan, she'd get even more tax deductions for the kids. So this is, you know, how can you have a marriage contract when one side is being incentivized to break the contract, and this proposal by Josh Hawley would make that even worse? You know, I was watching YouTube, and they had a Muslim guy on one of the channels, and he was saying the way they do it in the Middle East, although the Middle East is having increased divorce too, but anyway, what they do over there is when a man and a woman marry, they have a set aside amount of money, which they call the divorce dowry. And so, and the way it works is if a man divorces his wife and she had done nothing wrong, then she gets this amount of money. Now, on the other hand, if she committed adultery or did something wrong, then they have a divorce, but she doesn't get any money. And she also doesn't get children. That's the way it used to be. There used to be fault assigned in divorces. Nowadays, you got it to where, and in some states, this is even part of laws, a woman could go out, have an affair, have a boyfriend, she could get pregnant by that boyfriend, and her husband would still be on the hook for the child support, even though the kid isn't even his. Other states, they'll allow a DNA test, and if the father doesn't contest it, after a year, the kid's assumed to be his, even if it's not, even if he can prove through DNA that the kid's not his. His wife could have had an affair, got knocked up, never said anything, he never found out about it. She has a kid. Well, most husbands, you know, unless they have reason to think their wife's cheating, would just say, well, I guess it's my kid. Well, if he doesn't contest it within a year, guess what? He's on the hook. So if Josh Hawley wanted to do something to help families and prevent family breakup and to encourage more men to get married, he could try to do something about the bias against men in the family courts and get rid of the incentives for divorce. That would help, but I don't see this doing much good. So anyway, as a matter of fact, it could have a negative effect, because then women would be even more incentivized to have a divorce, because then they'd get even more tax rebates from the government than what they have now. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FB, KHOY. Well, I had a couple comments. Have you seen where in George Floyd Square there are rules for whites they come visit, over?
Well, since I would never set foot in that area, I guess the liberals that would want to go there probably deserve it.
Yeah, and this whole thing with law enforcement, let me give you an interesting, and it's not just the blacks that are emboldened. The whites are getting ridiculously emboldened too towards law enforcement. One of my partners was running radar today. He's on a street that's known for speed. It's posted 45 miles an hour. It's a rural street. And him and I both do not even bother you until you're 20 over. So he gets a guy buzzing him at 65 miles an hour. So he pulls him over. As he walks up to the vehicle on camera, the guy turns and says, "Why are you bothering me?" And the officer said, well, I have you clocked at, you know, 65 and a 45. And the male from the next county over said, I was going to speed limit. And I can prove it. So he said, well, do tell. He goes, I always do the speed limit. And the officer said, but I've got you on radar. Well, I demand to see him. Well, in Ohio, you can't demand to see it. But we take a picture of it with our body camera. So, you know, it's going to be there if he goes to court. The guy tells the officer, well, you should be doing other things. What's it to you? We're doing something. We're slowing people down that crash on the street. So he writes him a ticket. And he walks up to the car and says, I wrote you for doing the speed limit, as you think. And if you want to appear in court to contest it, you're welcome to. You know, just here's the date. Then the guy goes, well, what do I have to do to pay this? So he's pretty much admitting to that he was speeding because he knows he was speeding. But to get in I's face, there's no reason. But that is the way the public, black and white, are treating law enforcement. Over.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I don't know. I guess they figure they don't have anything to lose by denying it. The one thing, and maybe you can answer this question, Bob. Around here, the police kind of hang out in certain areas with their radar. Now, there's a stretch of road, and I know why they do it, because people are coming down off the mountain. They're probably going over the speed limit by I don't know how much. And it's just a straight four-lane road. I've been living here for almost 30 years. I've never seen one accident on that road. But yet that seems to be the place where the police always sit because they know they can get hand out some tickets. Now, I've never been ticketed there, and I think that maybe some of these cops are sitting there doing paperwork. I don't know. But the thing is, the place where I see the most accidents, I never see any police down there with radar. I mean, there's one stretch of road between where I live and the next town. I bet you I've seen six. And when these accidents are always bad, I've seen many accidents in this one area. I never see the police there with radar, but I always see them out here near me where there's never been an accident. It's a straight road, but they know that there's going to be cars that are going over the speed limit because they're coming down off the mountain, and it's a steep hill. It's right at the bottom of a steep hill, even though I've never seen an accident there. Why do they do that, over?
Well, again, I noticed the young people, they like to sit where they can catch speeders. The objective in my eye is to get the traffic to slow down. If I'm sitting at a place where it's accident prone, I do run radar. I do not go after you until you're 20 over. That's a gift. There's times I'll be on the interstate and I won't even turn the radar unit on. I'll just sit there, listen to the AM/FM radio, and you're slowing people down by sitting there. It's just a different attitude. You know, we just hired some new kids, and they think the whole deal is to be out there with that radar. I'm forcing traffic stops to kill officers. In fact, as of last week, 103 officers in the U.S. of A. have been murdered. Oh, and one of the last ones was that New Mexico officer that was on a traffic stop with that white pickup and was gunned down. So I don't know what Pennsylvania is doing. I do know Pennsylvania cannot run radar moving. They have to be stationary to radar. We can run radar moving. The electronics are capable of catching you coming at me, going away from me, coming up behind me, leaving me. I mean, it's amazing what these things will do. But for some reason, Pennsylvania has rules. They have to be stationary to run radar, over.
Yeah, Roger. Well, it's just, it always seemed like they had radar running on roads where Not that there's a safety issue, because like I said, I've never seen an accident there. It's not, you could be doing 100 mile an hour and you're probably not going to have an accident because it's a perfectly straight, good road. But yet the places where they have accidents, you never see the police there. And it just always, and I mean, these have been accidents over decades because it's a bad spot. It's on a curve and there's an intersection. And I've seen, I can't count how many bad accidents I've seen down there. But I've never seen the state cops down there with the radar guns there. But they sit out here on this highway, this divided highway, because they know people are going to be, almost everybody's speeding to some degree coming down off the mountain, and they can just basically give out as many tickets. They could sit there all day and give tickets out until they're wore out, but I don't know. They don't bother me, but I just see them out there all the time, and I just thought, why don't they go where the accidents are happening instead of where a place where they know they can write however many tickets they want over KO4FE.
Well, it is a good thought, and there's times we're looking for other things. The state of Ohio has a real thing, a bug in their bonnet for following too closely, not allowing for enough distance between their vehicles. There's a lot of road rage, but we have a lot of people that will be up on your rear bumper, and I've sat out there looking for that during a campaign, and my whole reason for being there is looking for following too closely, you know, right somebody's bumper, and I don't even turn the radar on, so it's hard to say what they're doing. Sometimes you ought to go to the post and ask them. You know, generally they're willing to talk to you. So stop back by one of the posts and, you know, and say, hey, I'm curious about that, and see what they say. That's what I would do. With that being said, thank you, Bill, KO4FD. I'm going to say hi to Laura and Marty and to JTT and N2IRJ. And I'm going to go to Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee. N4ROQ,
K-A-J-O-I. Okay, thank you, Mom. Here's a line from Kamalia Harris. Time to prep for the next pandemic. That's what these liberal Democrats live for. So Washington Vice President Kamalia Harris told United Nations members on Monday that it is now the time for global leaders to begin putting the serious work into how they will respond to the next global pandemic. The virtual address, Harris is second to a UN body since her inauguration, comes as the United States makes progress on vaccinating the public and much of the world struggles to acquire vaccines. At the same time as the world works to get through this pandemic, we also know that we must prepare for the next, Harris said. The speech was co-hosted by UN permanent representatives of Argentina, Japan, Norway, and South Africa. The Biden administration is marking its first 100 days in office and says that Joe Biden was scheduled to address Congress on Wednesday. Certain to how much the headway his administration has made in responding to the worst public health crisis in the U.S. The U.S. will begin sharing its entire pipeline of vaccines from AstraZeneca once the COVID-19 vaccine clears federal safety reviews. White House told Associated Press on Monday with as many as 60 million doses expected to be available for export in the coming months. The article goes on, they're talking about the different vaccines, single dose shots, and it's going to be restarted. I think it already has. The U.S. has also been under pressure in recent weeks to share more of its vaccine supply with the world. Moving on from there, Biden's ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, was also scheduled to deliver remarks at Monday's virtual event and intends to call on nations to build the pandemic preparedness architecture for the future. The takeaway from this past year is clear: the world barely withstood the
pandemic. Thomas Greenfield says in experts in her prepared remarks, we must be ready for the next. Warming blame for polar shift. Climate change is likely the cause of a recent shift in the Earth's axis of rotation. A new study suggests melting glaciers around the world, a result of rising atmospheric temperatures from the burning of fossil fuels, redistributing enough water to cause the locations of the North and South Poles to move eastward since the mid-1990s. The location of the poles aren't fixed and unchanging. The way water moves around the Earth or the planet's surface is one factor that causes the two poles to drift, the study says. Each year as the globe warms, hundreds of millions of tons of ice melt into the Earth's oceans. The faster ice melting under, this is a liberal writing this. They keep saying global warming, but they don't say anything when it's zero out there. So moving on from there, the study was published in the peer-reviewed journal Geophysical Research Letters, a publication of the American Geophysical Union. There was a explosive laden drone boat target Saudi port of Yanbu. It's from Dubois, United Arab Emirates, USA Today. A remotely piloted boat packed with explosives targeted the Saudi port of Yanbu, that's spelled Y-A-N-B-U, in the Red Sea. The kingdom said, with the blast sending black smoke off the coast, Saudi Arabia claimed to have intercepted and destroyed the attack boat. However, private security firms suggested commercial traffic near the port may have been hit in the assault. Details remain scarce, but the incident comes after a series of attacks on shipping in the wider Mideast region, amid shadow war between Iran and Israel, and against the backdrop of ongoing negotiations between Tehran and world powers over Iran's tattered nuclear deal. The incident also comes amid the kingdom's years-long war against Yemen's Houthi rebels. The Houthis have in the past used unladen drones and explosive packed boats in attacks targeting the kingdom. However, the rebels did not immediately claim any assault or accusing and did not respond to the request for comment in 4025. So moving on from there, the article's kind of long. Let's see if there's any other big comments in here. Yanbu, I spell Y-A-N-B-U, 540 miles west of Riyadh, serves as the endpoint of the kingdom's crucial east-west pipeline. It allows crude oil pumped in its eastern field to be shipped directly by the Red Sea, avoiding the Persian Gulf choke point at the Strait of Hormuz. And we also home to an oil refinery that can process 400,000 barrels of crude per day. Meanwhile, American and Iranian warships had a tense encounter in the Persian Gulf earlier this month, the first such incident in about a year, the U.S. Navy said Tuesday. Footage released by the Navy showed a ship commanded by Iran's Parliamentary Revolutionary Guard cut in front of a USCGC monomoy, causing the Coast Guard vessel to come to an abrupt stop with its engine smoking on April the 2nd. The Guard also did the same with another Coast Guard vessel, the USCGC Wrangle, said Commander Rebecca Ramirez, a 5th Fleet spokeslady. So they're wanting to start trouble. They're cutting in front of them and kind of trying to cause problems. We'll stop it right there. Shoot it back up here to you, Bob. The band seems to be great, and Bob and Bill both are sounding great down here, and others as well.
Becky Bob K88JLI from the N4ROQ.
Alrighty, Larry, thank you. I'm going to acknowledge Kilo 4 Bravo Foxtrot Romeo. The gentleman checked in here on NetLogger, said looking for a place to belong. Well, Michael, if you're listening, I will call out your call at the end of my list, which is not that long, and we'll see if you belong. That'd be great. And Larry, about the those ships, I was talking to a Navy and a Cody veteran that I have amateur radio breakfast with on Thursdays, and they were talking about that also. And I guess they first try on the radio, because apparently when you're in international waters, you're supposed to speak English, and they would not respond, the Iranian ship. Then they use a howler. I didn't know what the howler was. It's apparently an extremely loud, like a siren device, that's like a warning horn, meaning get out of my way. And then the third is the firing, and they would have most likely fired three rounds in front of the bow of the ship that's causing the problem. And they're 20 millimeter mortars, so they would fire those three rounds in front of the Iranian ship to basically get their attention, tell them to knock it off. Over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that sounds, I've read some of the things about that. So that is right, but if they don't respond to those things, then it's, what do you do in that case? Do they have any orders after that?
Well, their comment was that we're allowed to defend ourselves, so if they would have continued or would have fired upon us, they would have gone into a conflict. But, I guess that's the international way to say get the hell out of here. Kind of interesting. it was fun asking them about it. All right, thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, K0Y. I'm going to say hi to Chris again, KN4ZES Tennessee, who's monitoring. And then I'm going to take it down to Mr. James, Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. Mr. James, I'm back to you. Over.
Okay, Bob, thank you. I was listening to Clinton, Michigan, and Larry talking about the environmental issues. Yes, global warming will not go away. They keep talking about it. Unfortunately, they do not have perspective on the numbers. Even if you believe it's happening, it's just computer projection. This isn't really happening, because the average temperature of the Earth has not gone up in the last 20 years. It was going up in the 90s, and then it stopped, and it went down, and it's been stable or dropping for the last 20 years. That's the science. Now, the computer projections, of course, they're corruptible, totally corruptible. They can make it say what they want. They say that by the year 2100, we'll be up, guess how much? Maybe a degree. 1 degree. That's what they're all screaming about. 1 degree. All this talk about the poles melting off, that's not really happening. There's some changes year to year, but they always give you pictures of like the worst case scenario and give you graphs with the offsets on the coordinates. So this is always propaganda that they keep telling you about, and they don't think of the numbers. Now let's talk about the pole shifting because of glaciers melting. They didn't give any number, not one number. They just said it was shifting. They didn't say how much. They didn't do any analysis. They just said it. And you're supposed to believe it. And how many people just believe it without even thinking, without any analysis? That's pure propaganda. And we have to knock it out. The carbon dioxide issue, John Kerry is saying he wants no carbon dioxide. That's such bad stuff. We don't want him. What an idiot. I can't believe it. Even kids in grade school know you need carbon dioxide. Let's let the plants vote on this issue. If they can vote on it, they say, more please, we should certainly use it. The amount we got now approaching 400 parts per million. It's just fine. It's not causing a problem. The plants are loving it. If we drop down below about 200, the plants will start dying. It's not near zero. It's not. I mean, we don't have a generous amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere right now. In greenhouses, we jack up the carbon dioxide to thousands of parts per million. In the past 3 years, it was thousands and 20,000 parts per million, and the plants were going crazy. If you want to green the planet, you want to green the planet, you want more carbon dioxide, not less. What East areas that they want none. So that's my comment on environmental science. Back to the net.
Alrighty, thank you, James. And it's interesting you talk about John Kerry. As long as John Kerry keeps us flying around on his private jet, he's going to make carbon dioxide, so we can thank him for that. And I am told that his house is 20 times, uses 20 times the energy that the average home does in the area, the state. I thought it was Tennessee. Maybe Larry can help us on that one. But, yeah, John Kerry is an abuser of energy, so he's going to keep them plants happy, over.
Yes, the plants are telling us that they want more carbon dioxide, not less. Listen to the plant. Listen to the plant. All you greenies out there, they want more carbon dioxide, not less.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. Appreciate you on round number two, Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. Let me take it to Clint in Michigan, Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo. This is KAHJOI.
Hey, Carl, I'm able to make it back out here again, and good to hear everybody out here. It's beautiful weather out here, great day, and But I really have nothing else further to add. Just looking at all the information that's pumped out here. And just thinking to you, but there are some people that are like present. And then turned over by the propaganda, by the lies, to hear all the people that are aware of what's going on. I saw a statistic that said 70% of casualties, and only 76% of the people do not believe it's unarming America. 73% believe it's unarming America. Anyways, great to everybody out here. God bless to everybody. Truly mean it, 73. And Bob, if you can play me off an email, I'd appreciate it. Like Paul at net0.net. Get to that control. This is KCHR.
Roger, Roger, Clint. KCHR and net0.net. I will do that after we're done talking. Thank you. Appreciate your input. Now I'm going to go down to someone that's on the NetLogger. A gentleman's name is Michael. He is in North Carolina, so a newcomer, welcome to the Liberty Net, Kilo 4, Bravo, Foxtrot, Romeo. Mr. Michael, what do you have to say, over?
Yeah, he's a good
down to Baltimore, so it's I have some trouble, I have already some available to you.
Well, thank you, Michael, for joining us. And first off, let me thank you for your service to America. I did not serve. My father served, and my son was a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. And unfortunately, I am a Gold Star father because of him. But he served honorably, and he loved this country. So thank you for your service. Over.
When people tell me thank you for your service, my general reply to that is, if you really wish to thank a veteran for serving the country, be the kind
of person you're fighting for. Roger, roger on that, but since I serve statewide, stateside, it's an out of respect. So I agree with your comment. Yeah, be an American worth having fought for. Unfortunately, there's a lot of them that aren't, but I understand your thoughts. I'm going to pass it back to you one more time before I go to the top of the list. Is there anything else you'd like to add? K4BFR, this is KHLY. Michael, thank you. I have to turn my audio down to get you because you're a little light, but I do hear you. So thank you for joining us. Again, this is the Liberty Net. Was established in 1974 by Victor, WNWCR. He is absent at the present time, and so we are a group of us are taking care of his net. So I appreciate you joining us. Let me see if I have any late check-ins before I move to the top of the 73 round. This is KAHJOY for the great, the real Liberty Net.
Whiskey 2 Golf India Oscar.
I heard Mr. Frank and I heard Mr. Bo, KD0RSA. So Mr. Frank, I'm going to pass it to you real quick. What's going on, sir?
Okay, W2GO, and well, I came across a really good, I was listening to my New York City hippie radio station, WBAI, and Dr. Gary Null had played a clip of a testimony down in Texas of a doctor. His name is Dr. Peter McCullough, McCullough, and he has quite a story talking out, and he's published some very important stuff on treating the coronavirus before it gets out of hand. And so there's a video on YouTube, and it's really, really good. I'd recommend everybody go take a look at it. It's about a 19-minute video, and he's in Texas. He's addressing the Senate in Texas, and he's got quite a eye-opening exposure of what went on and how he and a couple of some of the other doctors have created the concoction needed to treat the coronavirus. And and he's a cardiologist and I think either Idney or I think he's a kidney doctor. I forget which one it is. But he's always treating patients, and he has a 85% success rate in keeping people out of the hospital and no deaths. So there's quite a worthwhile listen. His name again is Dr. Peter, and the last name is McCullough. McCullough. And he's on YouTube, and they did take him down, but now he's back up again because he made such a distinguished mark on what was going on that he had to be heard. So I'd recommend that to everybody. There's also another guy that's also making a presentation there in Texas, and that's Dr. Richard Urso, U-R-S-O, and that's also on YouTube, and he also is involved with this whole treating coronavirus before you end up in the hospital, and they also have, let's see, what was the best thing I saw here? They have some very good comments on no systematic spread, and also the complete and durable immunity of once you get COVID-19 and survive it. They say you got complete and durable immunity. You don't need any vaccine. So anyhow, let's see if that's it. That's pretty much it. Bob, back to you, W2GIO.
Alrighty, Frank, thank you. I wrote down both names, so I'll have to go look on YouTube. Kind of like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in Cleveland, Ohio, a renowned doc and studies viruses. They've taken her down a few times, and she ends up back up. She's another one that needs to be heard, so. Thank you, Frank, W2GIO. Let me go down to Mr. Mo. KD0RSA, good evening, Mr.
Moe. KD0RSA, well, good evening, KAKOY. Thank you for picking me up. Phoenix is in here pretty plain also. The rest of them, I have to understand them tonight. I got a lot of static out here or something. Anyway, I'll just be sitting here listening, Bob. I don't have nothing to add at the present time. KD0RSA, I'll turn it back to KAJOY, Bob. I'll turn it back to you. KD0RSA.
Alrighty, Mr. Mo. I have another envelope that's in the mail for you, so sometime this week you should see it in your mailbox. Over.
Alright, I do appreciate it, but this is going to be costing a lot of money, so I don't know, but I do appreciate it, though. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. I'm still working, so I can still afford to send it. Alrighty, thank you, Mo, KD0RSA. Do I have any other late check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net? Over. Not being heard, I'm going to jump into the 73 round. I have a quick article, again, the Western Journal, and it's talking about less than an hour after Kamala Harris applauded police reform. Tim Scott reminds everyone what happened last year. There were two men who gave speeches on Wednesday, both advocated police reform. One was President Joe Biden when he used his speech before the joint session of Congress to urge the Senate to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Vice President Kamala Rooster beat and clap. Okay, between Harris and Pelosi, it's like they had a buzzer in their butt. They just couldn't stop getting up. The other was South Carolina GOP Senator Tim Scott, who gave the Republican response to Biden's speech. When he proposed police reform legislation last year, Harris, then a senator, helped filibuster it so it never saw the Senate floor. To understand the saga, we have to go back last year when police reform became a hot-button topic on May 25th with the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Democratic-controlled House quickly got behind the legislation that bears Floyd's name. They make it like he's this wonderful person. He was a criminal. He was passing counterfeit money. He's robbed people and assaulted people. But, oh, he's wonderful. So they're talking about the vote on that George Floyd issue. Republicans' biggest issue with the bill was that it eliminated qualified immunity. I'm telling you, you take away qualified immunity and law enforcement are going to do nothing. The doctrine that the government chooses to believe they're acting lawfully and constitutionally have immunity from lawsuits unless for the Supreme Court. However, Scott called qualified immunity a package, a poison pill in then the Republican-controlled Senate. He offered his own alternative called the Justice Act, a compromise that established strict data, collection data on use of force and no-knock warrants, as well as incentives for banning the chokehold and incentives for body cams. I'm telling you, I love that body cam. That is a blessing. But like the city of Cleveland, they wanted body cams. So now they have them. Now the public wants them to turn them off when they come to their house because they don't want to be recorded. Because you don't want to see what being an a-hole you are. So that's why you don't want to be recorded. But I have no problem with it. If I call somebody an a-hole on the body cam, it is what it is. But it shows how poor the public acts and the shenanigans that they play. Let's go back to Columbus, Ohio. That whole thing unfolded from the time he shut his door in his prison in 15 seconds, it was over. That's how fast and dynamic a situation can go bad for law enforcement. With that being said, I'm going to go to the top of the list, the 73 round. Mr. Bill, your final thoughts and what do you got on your mind? KO4FE, great signal, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY. In the True Liberty Net, this is KO4FE on the 73 round. All right. Well, you know, one of the things that's demoralizing is the fact that, and this is proven through, I mean, this has been going on for decades, really, but in the latest few months, it's even become even more obvious, and that is the weakness and the spinelessness and the cowardice of the current crop of Republicans. I mean, I don't think you can expect anything out of them. And here's proof of that. Gateway Pundit. Headline, shame on spineless Republicans. Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren speaks out on harsh treatment of January 6th detainees in isolation. Senator Liz Warren is speaking out against the harsh treatment of the January 6th detainees. Republican lawmakers are silent and afraid. What good are they? Then the story continues. Gateway Pundit has written extensively about the abusive treatment of Trump supporters are facing after their participation in the January 6th demonstrations. Many of these people did not even enter the U.S. Capitol. Several others were waved into the Capitol and then later left when they were told. There has never been mass chaos or violence by any supporters at any Trump rally. The few rallies that did see violence, when it was because leftist infiltrators starting fights. Despite this, many Trump supporters sit in jail today, held without bond, without being convicted of any crime. Now Senator Elizabeth Warren is speaking out, and this came from Politico. That's a infamous left-wing rag. But anyway, it says Senator Elizabeth Warren fled the Capitol on January 6th from a mob she later called domestic terrorists. Now she and other Senate Democrat leaders are standing up for their attackers' rights as criminal defendants. Yeah, not one Republican. You know, if that had been Democrats or Antifa or whatever of their satellite support groups, and they had one of them get shot, you could believe that Capitol cop's face would be all over the media. They'd probably say it had been doxed, and there'd be investigations. There'd be GoFundMes and funds being created to bail them out of jail if they were Democrats. The Democrats would have no problem doing this. I mean, they did it for BLM. But these Republicans, they won't do anything, and it's gotten so bad that even the Democrats are complaining. But anyway, back to the article. It says most of the 300-plus people charged with participating in the January 6th Capitol riot have been released while they await trial, but dozens of those deemed to be dangerous flight risks or at high risk of obstructing justice were ordered held without bond. Now, this is Politico writing this. Jail officials later determined that all the Capitol detainees would be placed in so-called restrictive housing, a move billed as necessary to keep the defendants safe as well as guards and other inmates, but that means 23-hour-a-day isolation for the accused and even before their trials begin. And such treatment doesn't sit well with Warren or Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, two of the chamber's fiercest critics of solitary confinement. They quote, solitary confinement is a form of punishment that is cruel and psychologically damaging, Warren said in an interview, and we're talking about people who haven't been convicted of anything yet. A Massachusetts Democrat, a member of the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's leadership team, said that while some limited uses of solitary confinement are justified, she's worried that law enforcement officials are deploying it to punish the January 6th defendants or to break them so that they'll cooperate. So anyway, the article ends with kudos to Elizabeth Warren and Dick Durbin. They show more humanity than any Republican in Congress today. Shame on these spineless Republicans. Here's another one, more police news. This is amazing. Virginia cop is fired for giving $25 to Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse's legal fund with a note saying you've done nothing wrong after hack revealed names of anonymous donors. A Virginia cop has been fired for anonymously donating $25 to Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse's legal fund with a note saying you've done nothing wrong. Norfolk Police Lieutenant William K. Kelly, a guy's a lieutenant. William K. Kelly lost his job after a hack revealed the names of those who gave money to help with the 18-year-old cuss. I mean, this is ridiculous. When has it been illegal or against the law to contribute money to someone who's presumed to be innocent? Rittenhouse is accused of killing two protesters and wounding a third during a demonstration against police brutality in Wisconsin last August 25th. Kelly, who was a second in command at the Norfolk Police Department's Internal Affairs Division, is said to have written, God bless, thank you for your courage, keep your head up, you've done nothing wrong. Every rank and file police officer supports you. Don't be discouraged by actions of the political class of law enforcement leadership, close quote. City manager Chip Fowler said, quote, I have reviewed the results of the internal investigation involving Lieutenant William Kelly. Chief Larry Boone and I have concluded Lieutenant Kelly's actions are in a violation of city and departmental policies. His egregious comments erode the trust between the Norfolk Police Department and those they are sworn to serve, close quote. Well, here's the thing. This information was illegally hacked. Norfolk Mayor Kenneth Cooper Alexander added, Yeah, he's another weakling. The alleged statement and action by a member of the Norfolk Police Department is alarming and by all means not consistent with our values, with the values of our city or standards set for our employees, close quote. Kelly has not commented. The 19-year veteran can appeal the decision. So there you go. 19-year-old veteran cop fired for giving $25 to a teenager facing some serious charges. Of course, they go on, it says conservatives have rallied around Rittenhouse, painting him as a symbol for gun rights and suggesting he acted self-defense. They generated money to help with his $2 million bail in November. But anyway, so there you go. You can't even give money to a presumably innocent man without being fired, at least if you're a cop. Here's one, Breitbart, Mercer University Theological Professor's Prayer, quote, "Dear God, help me to hate white people," close quote. This is a theology professor, Mercer University Theology Professor Shaniqua Walker Barnes, wrote a prayer in which she asked God to help her hate white people, specifically the nice ones, such as the Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color. She published the prayer of a weary black woman in the book A Rhythm of Prayer, called A Collection of Mediations for Renewal. So anyway, yeah, she's praying to God to help her hate white people more. I didn't know that was part of Christianity. And she's a professor of theology. Wonder what she teaches in her theology classes. We can only guess. Well, anyway, Bob, thanks for running the net. And I wanted to say 73s to everyone who joined in. And we'll look for you Wednesday, hopefully. So anyway, back to you. KA8JOY Liberty Net from KO4FE saying 73s.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for joining us. We've missed you. Appreciate you being back. So let's see. That theologist, God, I hope she doesn't teach the Bible, but her making that prayer is a racist comment. She is a racist. Over.
Well, of course she would deny that because, you know, the way the left constructs the term racism, it can only be somebody that has power. And, of course, her being a professor, she has no power over anyone, right?
Well, she's a professor, so she teaches and indoctrinates the young people. And as far as the lieutenant, it's a large enough agency that there'll be a union, so it'll be a battle. Trust me, I've been through that with my own agency. It took 2 years, but for a shenanigan that they committed, it cost them serious money. But yeah, he's donating. Everybody is innocent till proven guilty. Even if they confess to something, they're innocent till proven guilty. That's why we're a country set on that standard. So to terminate him for donating to that cause, that is senseless. Over.
Yeah, Roger. I mean, you know, it's like they don't even care that the information was illegally obtained. And what about his freedom of speech? It's not like he said anything illegal. It's just that, I don't know, these weaklings, they might be Democrats, who knows, but I don't know. I hope his union does stand up for him, but then again, you never know who's running the police union.
Well, that is a true statement, but most likely. We'll have to try to pay attention to that and see where it goes. Thank you, sir. KO4FE, KHOY. It's a pleasure having you with us. Again, I'll say hi to Laura and Marty, N2JTT and N2IRJ. And I will go down to Mr. Larry. N4ROQ, Mr. Larry, what are your final thoughts? KA8JOY.
All right, again, thanks for running the net, Mom. For being disrespectful tonight, good to hear Bill on the I was, I didn't watch Biden's speech. Waste my time listening to that. So that guy that stole the election and angry. But there were some comments about Ted Cruz sneezing, and I read an article in on the internet here that Ted said he was mystified at how come he didn't snooze more during that speech. That he shouldn't snooze more. It was so boring and all. So I thought that was a good comment. They were really making fun of him for snoozing, and he said he really should have snoozed more. He really puts it to him. Y'all heard about the Giuliani home and his office were searched. These liberal Democrats are trying to get back at him for finding all this election fraud and President Trump. Federal agents on Wednesday raided Giuliani's Manhattan home and office, seizing computers and cell phones in a major escalation of the Justice Department's investigation to surveillance drones of former President Donald Trump's personal lawyer. Giuliani, former New York City mayor, once celebrated for his leadership in the aftermath of the 9/11 attack. He's been under federal scrutiny for several years over his ties to Ukraine. The dual searches sent the strongest signal in U.S. that he can face federal charges. Agents searching Giuliani's home on Madison Avenue and his office on Park Avenue, people familiar with the investigation, told the Associated Press the warrants, which require approval from the top levels of the Justice Department, signify prosecutors believe they have probable cause that Giuliani committed a federal crime. That's these liberal Democrats, they impeached Trump twice. There's really no reason, and they are terrible group of people, and the Republicans usually are not anywhere near the vindictiveness. They just didn't like him. He didn't go along with their liberal ways, and was trying to keep everything more conservative and run the country like it should be run. So then tomorrow, Chief Rockford. Okay, the full scope of the investigation is unclear, but at least partly why Giuliani is doing in Ukraine. And Giuliani was over there probably investigating Biden's son, and the drug addict's son, who was obtaining money from the Ukraine for mostly nothing, millions and millions of dollars to sell up by President Biden for money coming in. Well, let's see, the federal probing to Giuliani's Ukraine dealings falling last year because of a dispute over investigative tactics. Let's see, would Giuliani subsequently take on a leading role in disputing the election results on the Republicans' behalf? So that's the reason why they're trying to find something on him. I found on the internet, in the Washington Post, New York Times, and NBC News retracts reports on Giuliani. It says the Washington Post, and New York Times, and NBC News on the city issued significant corrections, retracting earlier reported a warning by the FBI that he was the target of a Russian disinformation campaign. The series came out after Giuliani's office and residence were raided by the FBI on Thursday. The searches were linked to a criminal probe of the former Democrats in Ukraine and resulted in a seizure of several communication devices. An earlier version of the story, published Thursday, incorrectly reported that One American News was warned by the the FBI that he was a target of a Russian influence operation. Read the correction by the Post, which first reported the news. The Georgia office said the FBI had provided a similar one to Rudolph W. Giuliani, which he has since disputed. The lawyer has been able to remove assertions that AN and Giuliani received a warning to correction out of the town for Senate. Has confirmed the Post warning also corrected its story. An earlier version of the article misstated whether Rudolph W. Giuliani received a formal warning from the FBI about Russian disinformation. The Times said in its correction posted at the bottom of the online story, Mr. Giuliani did not receive such a so-called defensive briefing. All the original reports were attributed to the anonymous sources. So the Democrats are putting all kinds of statements in the papers. And now they retract them. So I think somebody's probably checked into the lying ways. Okay, here's an article to you from Vice President Kamala Harris. Spoke of the history of racism in our country and its existence today. You must own up to racism history. This is from Matthew Brown, USA Today. Vice President Kamala Harris said, America is not a racist country, but the nation must speak the truth about its history with racism on ABC News Good Morning America. The Vice President's comments were in response to Senators Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, who gave the Republican Party's rebuttal to the President's address. Scott, the only black Republican in the Senate, spoke about his own experience with racism in the U.S. in a rebuttal to President Joe Biden's first joint address to Congress Wednesday. The senator contended, America is not a racist country, and that progressives today are perpetuating discrimination akin to Jim Crow era policies. 100 years ago, keeping confidence for the type and color of their skin was their most important characteristic, and if they looked a certain way, they were inferior. Today's kids, again, are being taught that the color of their skin defines them, and if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor, Scott said in his speech. It's backward to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination, the senator continued. Harris disagreed with Scott's characterization and applauded Biden for having the ability and courage to speak the truth about the country's history with racism. Well, first of all, no, I don't think America is a racist country, but we are also have to speak the truth about the history of racism in our country and its existence today. Harris said, while praising Biden's comments on race and domestic terrorism, he spoke what we know for the intelligence community. One of the greatest threats to our national security is domestic terrorism, manifested by white supremacists. You know, they're kind of like white people. If they say anything about all about comments, you're a white supremacist. Harris said in referencing reports from the federal agency identifying white supremacists as a persistent and rise terrorist list. And so these are issues that we must confront, and it does not help to heal our country to ignore the realities of that. The Vice President said, the idea that we want to unify the country without speaking truth and requiring accountability where it is appropriate, she urged. So, anyway, just wanted to mention that. We'll see if there's another one I can pick up real fast. Here's an article about the South is the fastest growing region, the census shows. South is the fastest growing region in the United States, according to newly released data of the 2020 census. The region has a 10.2% increase in population over the last decade. Census officials are determining as they release state-level data requiring how many seats each state will have in the House of Representatives. that's interesting, and I'll have to go through that and just see what comes out of that. There's a future that's going to be made. Let's see, moving on from there, I'll just stop it right there. Bob, your sound is enough, and enjoy hearing everyone in there, and thank you very much again. KAHJLY from N4IOU, and good to hear everyone on the next one.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure having you with us. Thank you for your comments, N4OQKHOI. So I will add one thing. On Juliana's search warrant, it said all electronic devices. And he had a hard drive or drive on his desk, and in an interview to Newsmax, Giuliani said to the FBI agents that were searching, when they questioned what are those, he said those are Hunter Biden's hard drive from his computer, and the FBI did not take them. Giuliani said they went, oh, no, we don't need those. He goes, no, take them, go ahead, it says all electronic. And they did not take them. So with that being said, let me move over here to Chris, because he made a similar comment, and I got to go to the window to read it. So KN4DES, Chris in Tennessee, says, speaking of Rudy Giuliani, an interesting thought experiment. What if you don't want the feds looking through your files, so you name them Hunter Biden hard drives, quote unquote? What about a step further, putting the deep Biden evidence on a general CC's electronic? Clever way to introduce damning evidence with maintaining optics. Just a few ideas that I thought of. Let's see. He also said, Robert, I was something that kind of was bouncing around in my head already. I meant Rudy and Trump took out the mafia up in Atlantic City. Huh, interesting. All right. That one I don't understand, Chris, but I like your comment about Hunter Biden, that they wouldn't take it. Did you see that piece of the fact that they wouldn't take the Hunter Biden hard drive, Larry? Over.
No, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
Yeah, Giuliani was interviewed by Newsmax, and he said they did not take him, even though it said that they were to take everything. Again, they don't want to know about Hunter. They just want to give him a budding. So, all right, again, Larry, thank you. N4ROQKJY. Chris, thank you. KN4ZES. And I'm going to go to Mr. James in Wisconsin, Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. What do you have for your final thoughts? Over.
W9RWY. Yeah, in the Giuliani case, the only way they know that the contract was possibly Hunter Biden's is because the subject of the breach warrant said so. So they don't know what was on there. They're obligated to take them. They can't dismiss them just because the witness, or at least the subject of the search warrant, said some kind of a comment about it. They must take them, and they are delinquent in the search warrant if they don't. And that goes into the Carl Rittenhouse case as well. Policemen who donated a nominal amount to a legal defense fund, the only way they know about this is because it was illegally hacked. And how do you know the information is accurate? You would trust them, and even you have this information. So there's just no way you can do it. You have to have some kind of proceeding to determine whether that's a good. The guy is going to get fired for that. I think this is the 73 round, but I think Nick called it the round table mode, where a free clean discussion often ensues. Well, I'll say 73, and so I'll just comment about global warming. We still had snow here last week.
monthly it's over, but it was really off and on all week last week. So, 7 days of the net, and thanks for being the second profile from WB9RWYQ.
Alrighty, Clint, yes, you're correct. Mr. Victor used to call it the roundtable mode, and when Jesse and Marty and myself kind of got together, we changed it a little bit. God, I hope someday Mr. Victor wanders back on here, but I guess health-wise, he's doing fair. Mr. Marty checks on him often, so it would be good to hear him. I hope he listens. I really, I've sent him letters and told him that we are doing our best to preserve his legacy. So thank you for bringing him up. Appreciate it. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. This is KHOI. Down to Mr. Clint Inchigan, as I say, across the pond, the Great Lake Erie. KT8, Echo Hotel Romeo. Mr. Clint, what are your final thoughts? Over.
And I'm able to go through two things here. What I can't find is I did see an article, but I'm trying to a Congress vote. Trying to ask about that. Anybody to be a domestic terrorist. And this is not right because that'd be anybody. Right. Anybody in the same field that just, you know, does not fall in line with their rhetoric and their cognitive non-ideas. Abraham Lincoln said, "Who the people are that rightful masters of both the earth and the sport?" But to overthrow the man, we would reverse cognitive. And the reason why I bring that up is I saw a report here where it talks about Black Lives Matter. Local judge declares acts of war, right? Border, four Texas counties react to the horrific crisis. There are four counties in southern Texas where they're actually charging. Those counties are actually saying, and that's the point of what's happening, and they're actually getting moved with the four counties and start mobilizing something to help get the board out there. Got to take a whole bunch of stuff here. You know, the CDC has warned states to remove COVID-19 vaccine card templates. And so much said, yes, out of the court. Also, saw a report on Black of Banners and supervising target the upscale restaurant in Unionville, Kentucky. Aurora's chairman bow down. Tell the mob or bring it on with strong. One of the dudes was there, he pulled a gun out at one point. He was a little too small, they call it a dancer or whatever. But, that's the kind of a test. And it's what I also found here is what appears to be a photograph of the Josh Pastor Sabbath. And it looks like his name may be Kenneth Michael Leroy Burr. Looks like he's out of the run. So he knows who he is. He's out of his house. So let's see here. There's a video that was out. Why is the media so silent about this?
the year was 1976, and your president was in the throes of a campaign to inoculate every man, woman, and child in the United States. In an effort to improve the disease of the flu pandemic of 1918, killed millions. 46 million Americans, nearly a quarter of the country's population, obediently took the shot. 4,000 of those individuals suffered side effects, leading to claims of $3.5 billion of damages against the U.S. government. 19 never developed into the global pandemic that helped us fight cancer conditions. The government halted the vaccination program 2 months after they began, following the report that 500 people got the vaccine to paralyze a new disease. 30 years victims later died from the damages allegedly caused by the shot. Almost on adult watch here. It looks like it's on CNN. It's Don Lemon. Anyway, he talks about the fluid that he threw out of his mouth. Don Lemon almost kicked out Sheriff Clark. The Sheriff Clark of the season real was season real, Don Lemon of supporting violence. Sheriff Clark is being interviewed by Don Lemon. Democrats appointed quick to buy it and do it every time. Sheriff Clark Brown got on there and he ran over Don. Great play. Don Lemon got rooted out. He was trying to hold it there together, talking about, you know, all this stuff that's not real. I mean, it's real. Some shit is there, it's out there. This is, you know, racism, and it is there. He was trying to say that all drivers are all cops. Sheriff Clark didn't have anything on it. But he was reminding him that he was the narrative that John Lemon and the wife they're saying it's violent. Sounds like they're pushing for a bit of similar audit for Georgia and Michigan. And I hope it's true. I hope it comes out in the law. And I hope all those that are done with it are arrested for free. And then we get our rightful president back in office, President Trump. Anyways, as the net control, I'll make this my final. God bless everybody. 73-KCHCHR.
Thank you, Flint. KCHCHR. I really had to sit here with my eyes closed to listen because you're kind of light, but I got all of it. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch that Arizona. All eyes are on there. We'll just have to see how that goes. So thank you for joining us tonight, 73 from across the pond. I hope you have a good week. So KCHEHR, KHOI. Let me go down to Mr. Michael, our new check-in. Kilo 4, Bravo, Foxtrot, Romeo. Mr. Michael, we're on our 73 round. What are your final thoughts? Over.
Finalized there, so I'll hold off until the next trip around and take you to the next. but I want to say thank y'all very much for making me feel comfortable walking this group. And I will be thankful for your permission, so let's go.
Roger, Roger, Michael. I show, is it Harder Mills is the city in North Carolina, is that correct? Pretty funny. Alrighty, well, I've got your address on QRZ. I will put a note in the mail for you tonight. So thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. K4BFR, KJY, 73Q. Let me go to Mr. Frank and Fishkill, New York. Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar. Mr. Frank, your final thought.
Okay, W2GIO. And I just heard a mention of Arizona, and I don't know if you all know, but Wendy Rogers, Arizona Senator, she and her husband are both hams, and I sent them several $1,000 to support their efforts in Arizona. So keep that in mind. She's a retired Air Force fighter pilot, whatever. Air Force pilots. Anyhow, she's a real trooper out there, and I talked to her on the phone, so she's quite a lady. Anyhow, I mentioned earlier about the YouTube video and Dr. McCullough, and one of the things he said was he was very surprised during this whole pandemic thing that he mentions the university that he went to and several other prestigious medical universities have said nothing about the treatment of coronavirus outside of the hospital. And what he was really saying in reality was that these teaching institutions are getting funding from the pharmaceutical companies, and therefore they've been hushed up to keep their mouth shut, or else they're not going to get funding. So we've got some real collusion going on here. And, you know, I mean, when this doctor said that, I started thinking about it. I said, yeah, he's right. The universities aren't saying a squat about what's going on. So there you go. They get loads of money from the pharmaceutical companies, and they've been told to shut up and just do what we tell you to do. So we definitely have a problem. Was there anything else? No, I guess that's it for me. So, Bob, I sent you a. A bunch of these doctors, if you go to that website on YouTube and you go down, look down in there, there's a place where they have a pamphlet that you can download, and it is a, hold on a second. Bob, I sent you a link to this place. I sent you the PDF file. It's called, what is it called? Let me get back up to the top here. It's called A Guide to Home-Based COVID Treatment. And it's a step-by-step doctor's plan that could save your life. This is, they got this was really put out by a whole bunch of them. Prestigious doctors that are involved in this same thing that this Dr. Peter McCullough is. He's one of the consulting editors on this. He's an internist, cardiologist, an epidemiologist, and the president of the Cardio Renal Society. These people know what they're doing. So.
Thank you for being with us tonight. I often don't understand the whys, not to get into any depth, but I've laid to rest my first wife and I've laid to rest a Marine child. And I don't know why, but I still have faith in him. So with that being said, thank you, Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar, KJY. And last but not least, Mr. Mo, KD0RSA, KAHJOY. What are your final thoughts, Mr. Mo?
KAHJOY. Thank you, Bob, for picking me up. This is KD0RSA. Thank you for picking me up. I could hear FE or EF, whatever that call was, very plain. Everybody else is just. Kind of down. You're coming in fairly decent, but everybody else was couldn't keep up with what they were saying. I guess I'm too far away or something. Anyway, it's great to get on here. I do appreciate it, Bob, and I don't have nothing else to add. Except I want to say hi to Vic. If you can listen, cheer up and get back on once in a while. Anyway, as far as the rest of it goes, keep your powder dry. Down the road, you young people are going to maybe I'll be getting too old, I don't know. So keep powder dry.
KD0RSA,
I'll turn, say 73 and turn back to you, Bob.
All righty, Mr. Mo, KD0RSA. Did you ever get the tube for your amplifier? Because you're coming in really good here in Ohio.
I never got a tube. I don't know. I haven't found one yet. Over.
All right, I'm just curious. Okay, well, thank you. It's a pleasure having you with us. With that being said, I'm at the bottom of my list, and I will let Mr. Marty know to give your regards to Mr. Victor the next time he talks to him on the phone. Over.
I sure appreciate it, and if you get any inkling of some of your people out there that's got a tube, I sure appreciate it. KD0RSA.
All righty. Well, that is where I'm going to sum it up. Do I have any last-minute comments before I close the door on this night's Liberty Net? This is KJY. Roger, roger. Well, thank you for all the participants. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers, as they are often listening. and 73s to some of our netters, our Liberty netters, Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, M2IRJ, and Ms. Laura, M2JTT, as they are absent, along with Mr. Jesse. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country, bless our leaders, even though that one of them, the head leader, kind of a fumble. I hope God sees it, that we get through this. With that being said, this is K-A-H-J-O-Y, your host for the Great Liberty Net, saying goodnight.